TikTok Jewish guest line.
Yeah, let's go out to the phone line and talk with a guy who we've had a chance to have on a couple of times, a guy I've gotten to meet a couple of times at a couple of Super Bowls. You know him. He's an Emmy winner. You've watched him do sports science on ESPN and Fox for years. It's our buddy John Brankus. John, how are you?
I am awesome. How about you?
Well, you're better than a lot of our Giants fans in our area because the team's traded away Odell Beckham Jr. I got to ask you first, have you ever done a sports science with Odell Beckham Jr.? Like, how much of a freak is this guy?
Yeah, we had him on the show three times. He's amazing. I mean, he's just an amazing athlete. And he really, it seems like, you know, he really got all of his personal affairs in order this past season. You know, he's a great, amazing athlete. He's great. I'm not sure if the Giants are going down their list of athletes by rank and skill and just getting rid of all the good ones.
You know, I don't know if you could do. Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know if you could do a sports science on it, but those one-handed catches without that glove, how many of these are gonna make a catch if it's like slide right off his hands without that great glove?
Well, it's funny. We actually did do that. We did do that experiment, and you know, it is very. You see all these crazy one-hand catches now at high school, college. Now, the truth is that those gloves are not regulated. So you can make them as sticky as you want.
Ooh.
And it does. It helps dramatically because as you're moving your hand back, it's increasing the deceleration phase. So that's how, you know, the crazy Odell Beckham catches or any number of other catches are possible is because the ball is sticking to your hand for a longer time. It's not just bouncing off as you're cradling it back. So that's kind of like one of the secrets of football is like, wow, these offensive catches are just amazing. Well, the gloves are unregulated. They can be as sticky as they want to be.
Ah.
So then why can't players just use Stick'Em anymore?
They went away because Stick'Em was perceived as cheating, and gloves are not perceived.
Hey, John, other things we're wondering about, because we got a long list of things we want to ask you about in a short amount of time. The Atlantic League in baseball, an independent league, announced a couple of changes they're going to try later in the season here. They're going to move the pitcher's mound back 2 feet.
Yeah.
What kind of impact does that have on the pitcher?
I mean, I don't think it has nearly as big an impact as it sounds like. It sounds like, well, we're moving it back, you know, to 68 feet. It's like, look, the reality is if you're facing Randy Johnson or Tim Lincecum, there's already more than a 2 foot difference in where the ball is released. If you just take a 90 mile per hour fastball, it arrives at home plate in 0.4 seconds. You know, moving the pitcher's mound back. Let's say that we're moving it back, and that it's going to have a 5% difference in terms of. The amount of time that a batter can look at the ball. Let's just say it's that. It depends on... At 90 miles per hour, from 60 feet, 6 inches, it arrives at home plate in 0.4 seconds. So if you move it back and you're saying, well, let's say it's going to be 5%, you're only increasing the amount of time the batter can see the ball for 0.02 seconds. So it's not night and day, and it already is occurring just based on the size of the pitcher. I don't think it's going to have nearly as big of an impact as people would say. Now, if you move it back 10 feet, like obviously it would have a much bigger impact. But this is not, I don't think it's going to be night and day.
So batters are not going to be batting 400 all of a sudden because of this, or if they did this?
No, now let's also think about it. You know, the hardest pitch to hit, you know, it's kind of the cutter. You know, it's kind of like that fastball that just breaks a little bit. It's just got that much more time to move a little bit more that is imperceptible to the eye. So it just depends. You know, a looping curveball is easy to hit, whether or not it's from 10 feet or, you know, 62 feet. A fast fastball is going, it's going to be, I mean, 0.02 seconds, is that going to make a difference? When you do the math on it, really doesn't make that much of a difference. You might have more foul balls, but you're certainly not going to have more people getting around on a full swipe.
John Brankus, Sports Science, with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. What about complaints we've heard from pitchers in the last couple of days that say, I'm going to get injured easier by having to basically retrain my body to do something? How much of a risk is injury?
I mean, I think that when it comes right down to it, it's not, I don't think it's retraining the body to do something different. The mound is still elevated. The way that you're throwing the ball is, pitchers are not throwing, it's not like they're throwing blindfolded.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not throwing blindfolded, you know, just, oh, I'm just closing my eyes and throwing the ball. You're throwing at a target no matter what. And it's such a small difference that I think it's going to be mitigated and not as big of a challenge as pitchers think it's going to be. I think that'll be what'll be interesting is if you move the pitcher's mound back, do you change the strike zone slightly? You know, do you increase it just a little bit just because there's that much more variance to the ball, even if it's 5%? So that's going to be the first thing I think that would come into play. Is the strike zone.
Yeah. John, I remember you did something on Kyrie Irving. Tell us about that. What was it like to do a sports science on him?
He's awesome. I mean, he's just, you know, total class act. You know, we caught up with him just as he was coming off of his injury, and he was amazing. I mean, he's just the way that he handles it. Like, every night when you watch highlights, of Kyrie, just look at how big his hands are and the control that he has of the ball. He's the real deal. You know, it's a shame. If Gordon Hayward ever became 100%, you know, that would be an incredible tandem. But, you know, Kyrie is awesome.
What kind of sports science do we have coming in the works? Or is there an athlete you specifically you'd want to work with that you have in the future?
There's always that next athlete. You know, Zion would be incredible. Once he turns pro.
Do something on the shoe. How much pressure does it take to burst a shoe open like that?
It's funny. I was interviewed about that a bunch of times, and what's interesting is that when you talk about a shoe blowout, there have been other shoe blowouts,
right?
Whether or not it's in the NFL. I mean, it's not like this is a one-time thing. You're dealing with stitching on leather, essentially. And if the right amount of force hits the right, you know, the exact right spot, you know, it's just sort of the weakest link in the chain. This is not the first time, nor will it be the last time that something like this happens. But, you know, fortunately, I mean, what's interesting is everyone's like, oh, my God, how did he not get hurt worse? It's because, thank God, the shoe blew out. Imagine if he just rolled his ankle and the shoe didn't blow out.
Yeah.
Right? That's a season ender. This was just his foot slid out, and, you know, he suffered a mild strain. But if the shoe hadn't blown out, he would have been in a lot more trouble.
Wow.
There's a couple of other things that I'd love to know the answer to, but I don't even know if you could find athletes to help you replicate them. I'd love to know, how hard do you have to hit a ball to bust the guts out of a baseball like in the Sandlot? And I'd love to know, how hard do you have to dunk to break the rim or to break the backboard?
Well, so we actually did experiments on both of those. You know, hitting the cover off of the ball, I mean, it far exceeds what a human being, what two human beings could do, a pitcher and a batter, given that it's a new baseball. I mean, obviously you can, you know, cut stitching on it and make it happen, but it's far beyond what you could actually do. And the way, in terms of breaking a rim, notice how we haven't seen a backboard busted in a really long time. Because the rim is no longer attached to the backboard. So if you next time you go to an NBA or NCAA game, or even, you know, a lot of high schools, you'll see that there is actually a hole that is drilled through the backboard, and the rim is attached to the stanchion. It's not attached to the backboard, so that's why you don't see any backboards breaking anymore.
I got one more for you. You ever seen the baskets? Usually they're outdoors that have the double rim.
Yep.
Is it smaller than a regular? I mean, is it just a hair smaller, or is it the exact same size?
I think probably the interior, don't quote me on this. I've actually never done an experiment on that, but I think it's probably, I would say it's probably the interior of the rim is the same. It's just making it more durable. You know, it's more, that's more of a, hey, you know, it's going to be out here for, 20 years. You know, we need to make sure that it's more durable. So I would imagine the inside is the same diameter. Yeah.
Always wondered about that. John Prankus, everybody, of Sports Science. Always a pleasure, John. Love having you on. We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Really
Thanks, John. It.